This show tonight's for all the weary passengers on the airship out there, all the wanderers, and especially the punks. Get ready, hang on, you're now aboard the airship. We're getting ready to take off, landing gears up, going to begin this journey. It's going to be a hard one, it's going to rock. So please recline your seats, grab a beverage of your favorite brew. Tonight, we've got our special guest, Miss Julia Harms of Silver, and Rick, the bassist from Silver. They're going to be Ricky. With us for the evening. My name is Roy. I'll be your pilot for the show. The co-pilot is Mandy. Hello. And we have Sean, our in-flight engineer. Hey, how you doing tonight?
We're doing lovely. Mm-hmm. It's a hot night in Tacoma, Washington.
Yeah.
It's a hot night in Billings, Montana, for sure. Certainly. For sure. Mm-hmm. So tell us about Silver. Tell us about Julia. What do you guys do aside from being that punky Eurotrash stuff that we kind of like?
Go ahead, Rick.
I work at a guitar store.
He owns a guitar store. Fuck. Come on. Don't be so...
I own Guitar Maniacs.
Good. It's time for some shameless self-promotion here. Tell us about Guitar Maniacs. Are you fucking crazy?
Yeah, I'm crazy about guitars. but I really like drums.
He doesn't work too much though. He just pretends to work. He mostly hangs out at the practice room and does his own thing.
Dude, I want your gig.
Yeah, it's a job, you know. You get to meet people sometimes and go to free concerts. That's about it.
That's bad. Spit it out there. You provide guitars for some really cool people and get to fly around the country doing some of that, from what I understand. Quit being so modest.
Well, I did. Yeah, you're right. I did.
You're busted.
He is being modest.
I did
my
sell
God.
A guitar to Julia once. She never paid me, and then she pawned it.
Yeah, I did.
But I got it back.
So. You got back?
He doesn't like to talk about
I paid the pawn.
His rock star friends because... I don't know why.
It messes up my punk cred.
Yeah. No name dropping on his end.
But no, you know, I mean, I just have this
screaming.
Little...
Stop screaming. Jet sleeping.
I'm sorry.
Have this little... Baby in the house.
Since the 90s.
Yeah.
You gotta love internet radio. Well, we'll just leave it to say that Rick has the privilege of supplying guitars to some very major artists signed with major labels around the country, the world. And when they need something in the middle of the night at 2 a.m., my understanding is, they make one phone call and somebody jumps on the plane with guitars and delivers it to them and makes sure everything is working just the way it should be. Does that kind of sum it up pretty good?
Something like that.
Yeah. Still downplaying.
Yeah, sounds romantic.
Yeah, it does.
Sure.
Don't be fucking up his street cred.
We're not going to talk about the chaos that really goes on with, you know. I know what it's like going through all that stuff.
Kind of like Ghostbusters, you know.
Yep.
Getting the call.
Minus the slime.
Exactly. Well, not really. Not really. My business can be pretty slimy sometimes.
Green slime, green room. Yeah, we know all about that.
That's all I played with when I was a kid. That green slime in that little box, that trash can. I love that shit.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that?
I used to eat that stuff.
You can't eat it.
Oh.
Now we understand why.
I hear it's nutritious.
Yep. So, Julia, I'm gonna bust on you a little bit here, and I'm not going to let you be so humble and quiet and modest, because I'm going to throw some of this stuff out there. You and I talked about it earlier. In a previous life, you worked for a wonderful little label called Sub Pop.
Well, it was actually Glitter House Europe, which meant we had Sub Pop, we had Amphetamine Reptile Records, and Caroline Records. And I started out, I used to work for a casting agency and I fucking hated actors. So I wanted to do music and I sent out 10 applications to do an internship. I got 9 yeses and I got a little tiny letter back then it was a tiny label, and I loved it because they sent me a bunch of records, one of which was Bleach. And, yep, that was my choice. So I started working as an intern. then I started doing publicity for their bands, and it was really easy because once Sub Pop like hit the, once Nirvana got big, basically the Sub Pop bands promoted themselves. Like I went on tour with Seaweed, that was great. Mudhoney, I think a couple of shows, they threw some stuff out of the hotel window and I thought it was too cliche and I didn't like it, but they're really cool guys. And Afghan Rigs, Walkabout, Codeine Tar, and then Monster Magnet, of course. And that was fun.
I'm going to stop you on that one right there. Monster Magnet, love those guys back in the day. They were great. Space Lord, heard it all the time on the radio.
Yep,
I love that. So acting as a publicist for them, that just, I'm not even sure where to go with that.
So what is a publicist, and why do artists need them?
A publicist is a person who grinds and grinds and grinds to get the guys in magazines, on radio interviews.
Isn't that a pimp?
Yeah, pimping.
That is pretty much a pimp. That's a really good way to explain it, in my opinion, right there.
And what I just found the itinerary from Saturday. It started Saturday, April 4th, 92. And I went on a bunch of shows with them. It was really, really great. Tim Cronin did the light show for them, which was really, really, for people who are on acid, I mean, it was fantastic. And yeah, it was really, people in Germany really, really loved them. And in Europe, actually. And the next time I saw them, they played huge festivals. I didn't work for Glitter House then anymore. What actually happened is that I met Jonathan Poneman and Bruce from Sub Pop. They came over to Glitter House to see CV play. And I asked them if I could work for them as an intern in Seattle. They said, sure. So I flew to Seattle, rented an apartment on Capitol Hill, and unfortunately, I showed up once and I fell in love with some dude in Tacoma and stayed with Seaweed here. And since then, I'm stuck here for most of the time. City of Destiny fucked me up.
God, that was that's a pretty awesome story, though. I mean, God, thank you for telling me that.
I was a trust fund kid, so it was pretty easy to. I think I did some, what was that band I paid for? The Aroma of Tacoma. What was that?
You paid for the recording?
Yes. Remember the Ashpip.
Oh, right.
The Who?
It was a band called Ashpip. They were really nice.
Some really great guys. Some cool Tacoma guys. Cody Foster.
Run down. I want to know if there's anybody I know in it. I know a lot of people in Tacoma.
Let's see. Nathan Miller played drums. Cody Foster played bass. Andy Shawls played guitar. And Nick Gordon played guitar. So.
But I don't even remember their names, so I highly doubt.
I did.
Well, I don't. That's why you're here.
So how'd you make the transition over into punk?
Who?
You. Just playing punk and doing that. Is that?
Because I was... When I first came and stayed, had my own apartment in Tacoma, I was really bored. I'm not very, I don't like people very much. So I, first of all, I learned English watching Oprah more and more and more.
Oh,
and
my
I got really
God.
Bored. I know. That was fantastic.
That's oh, my God.
That's don't wake him fucking up. That's a fantastic quiet. That's why I have such a great accent. And, no, I forgot. No, I lost seat. Rick, you fucked me up. Oh, and then I bought a bass from Rick.
No.
A Univox bass. And then I started jumping up and down the bed and playing to L7. And then I stopped.
Oh, God, I want to see the video of that. You jumping up and down in the bed playing. And, oh, man, the visual is amazing.
I must say it kind of is.
So the truth to it all is that's... I've never even heard that story before, but I do know this.
I bought the fucking bass from you.
I thought you bought that for Mike T.
No, I didn't even know him then.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever. But how it ultimately started was in probably in the spring of 1994.
Around April.
She was in her bed one evening and the image of an angel came to her, who stated that he was going to be her guardian angel, and that she needed to, you know, go forward and start making music. And she had not really picked up any instrument at that point. And the next day, she borrowed Mike Truax's little four-track Fostex recorder, and she recorded four songs.
You know? I recorded yesterday.
I thought you recorded yesterday and 27.
Oh,
I mean, over the course of So the very next day, she wrote the song yesterday, which pretty much tells the story. And when I heard it, I just like flipped out. It just was like, it sounded like this giant wall of fuzz, and it just sounded great. And I just like begged her to be in her band. And actually, I started out on drums, and Scott Hunter was the other guitar player.
We had to kick him
out. And then
I love Scott too.
The present drummer who isn't he's in the woods, living in the woods right
getting
now.
Getting ready for the end of the world.
For end times, yeah. He's getting ready for end times, and
like having rice, hundreds of pounds of rice and such.
Yeah, he's stockpiling guns and rice, and he is our he's been our drummer ever since.
Is he from Utah?
He got mad once and quit, and
then we had bipolar.
We brought this other girl, brought this girl Colleen to come in and play, but she
was too mental.
She didn't really fit, and so we begged for Joe to come back, or he begged to come back, or I don't know. There was a lot of begging going on, and he came back, and this is the lineup that will be forever.
Yeah,
there's only one way out of silver, and that's in a body bag.
God, you just
that's kind of awesome. Did the music have a message?
Yeah, this came from an angel.
Yeah.
You can read. Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, like yesterday tells the story, and you know, they all the songs pretty much tell stories. They're kind of, you know, it's just simple little.
I'm just really yeah.
Like they're like camp songs.
They're like catchy little children's songs.
But yet they're all awesome and hardcore sounding. I love that.
Yeah, what's the story behind President? We're going to play that here in just a minute. Tell me the story behind President.
Well,
what's the message there?
Well,
you
I mean, it's
that, didn't you?
Yeah, I wrote that because I scream a lot. No, really, I think I was looking back to like the '80s. I was feeling reflective of when I was younger.
We hated Bush. That's
in the '80s, and I thought, you know, back in the '80s. It didn't matter whether it was punk or new wave or metal or bubblegum or whatever. Pretty much everyone was pissed off at the American political system, the reigning world of Ronald Reagan and everything.
I didn't even know you're not supposed to say I want to kill the president.
But anyway, you know, no one was really commenting on this whole George W. Bush thing. And I mean, people were talking about it, but it seemed like the media was kind of clamped down and nobody was really saying anything. And
but you didn't write the lyrics.
And so basically, this song was about our frustration with the president at the time
and America and idiots. Republican idiots.
You can understand that for sure.
And nobody really standing up and saying, you know,
fuck you.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's. So that's kind of this. That was just our little way of saying fuck you. But we, you know, the ultimate.
The military guys loved it. That
yeah,
was
that's, that was pretty weird. because when we tried to record it, we weren't really able to include the word kill. And so
sometimes I sing it on
so
accident.
She would sing it live. Yeah, she would accidentally sing it live every time we would play it. So that's kind of what that's about. It's kind of about loving your president,
blowing him
and
hating
your president,
and killing him.
Yeah.
Killing
allegedly.
But you know, he's doing fine now. He's just somewhere painting pretty pictures. So he was pretty stupid.
He was really smart.
He was a shady character that started Air America as head of the CIA clear back in the early 70s, late 60s, was supposed to shut it down, ran it through the 80s. He's the one that leaked the Iran hostage rescue by Delta Force to make the President Carter look like a fool. And, yeah, I mean, he did all kinds of shady stuff to get in office and get in with Reagan and then move ahead.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, exactly. All the cocaine that came into America during that time.
Oh, yeah, Noriega and the cocaine and all that. Oh, yeah, yeah. That was probably the only good thing for at least a part of the population of America. They did to see he was responsible for the influx of cocaine and a wonderful addiction and lots of partying and disco shit. Yeah, disco.
Disco leads to cocaine.
Or cocaine leads to disco, one of the two. But well, let's... You ready to cue that up and let's give a listen to it. Let people hear what we're talking about.
Cue that beautiful bean footage. Say that stuff.
You can't say what? You can't say shit?
Yeah, you can. Oh, no, that's a different recording.
There's some things that transcend time, and I think that's one of them songs that's going to transcend a long time.
I just got to say that you sound super sexy in that song, miss. I love that song.
Thank you.
I like watching her video of it because she looks super sexy in the video, too.
Well, she just looks sexy in everything I've seen her in.
Hey, you got it. You got it from a sexy girl, by the way.
Thanks. I appreciate your music, actually. I actually listened to it all morning long to get a good feel of it, and I really like it a lot. But I really love female singers in general, and I love... I like a wide variety of alternative rock stuff anyway, so I really liked it. Especially the song Doug. I can't wait till we get to that one. Yeah. For some reason, that song really stuck out to me. I really liked that song.
Well,
thanks.
Yeah, Iggy Pop likes it too.
I really like that song.
Iggy Pop. I got a cool little story about Iggy Pop. I was in London, and we were looking for a place to go have a beer, and we were down in Soho, and we walked down this alley, and it kind of opened up into this courtyard, and there was this weird little bar there, and we were trying to find live music, and they had a band, and I walk in, and there's this guy standing there with leather pants on, which, incidentally, I happened to be wearing a pair just like him tonight. And wearing a black hat and t-shirt, standing at the bar. And I walk up, order a beer, get to bullshitting with this guy, and then actually turn around and look and see who it is. and it's Iggy. Like, okay.
Was he nice?
Yeah, actually he was. He was pretty cool, laid back and mellow. I don't know how stoned he was or how many beers he'd had before I got there, but he was pretty mellow. And we bullshitted for about 30 minutes or so, and then I took off to keep looking for music. And yeah, that was the rest of the night got pretty interesting after that. Hanging out with the publicist from EMI Records the rest of the night. Walked up and met her on the side of the street on the cell phone to ask her where there was music, and she's like, oh, there's here, and here. And I'm like, we don't know where that is. She's like, oh, you're Yanks. Well, come with me.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, we're Yanks. And, you know, for the next 2 days, we pretty much partied and hit clubs all over London, and it was a really good time. Yeah. Yeah, definitely had fun with that.
Sorry.
You know, I went to London because I was obsessed with Henry Rollins' spoken word tour, so I flew from Germany to London to see him there too. And people in London hated me. Fuck, they really hated me. Everybody.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe because I'm German. I don't know. There was a fucking
German, though. I mean, come on.
Yeah, and plus I didn't understand. And then I went to Edinburgh and I didn't understand a fucking word. But they probably didn't understand me either. Stop it. Fucking pen. Jesus.
Speaking of that, I had somebody almost hate me today. I got a tattoo on my arm, an armband. It's a full band around my upper arm on my bicep, about 4 inches wide. And it's white, yellow, red, and black. And I rafted as a raft guide during the day, and these people were really freaked out by it. And finally, one of the other guides says, Roy, you got to come over and tell them about your tattoo. And I'm like, what? And I come over and I says, do you want to know about my tattoos? And they're like, yeah, we want to know about that one. That one on your arm. And it was that one. And I'm like, what about it? The colors. And they were, I mean, I don't know if they were Jewish or what, but they were pretty offended by it. And I'm like, no, those are Lakota colors. I'm native. And had to explain the whole thing to them. So I can see how someone can get that just from voice appearances, whatever. It was kind of different today. And you know, once it got talking to the people, they were really cool and everything. But There was something there.
I don't understand. I mean, I will never become an American citizen. I mean, I like this country and all, but I am German, and I'm not going to say I'm proud to be German because I'm not proud to be fucking
better
anything.
Than everybody else.
That's correct. but it's, you know, Germany, we've learned our fucking lesson. I mean, I obviously wasn't in the war, but people learned their lesson. I mean, we're not as war-hungry as fucking Americans, so that's my little thing.
I don't know that Americans are war-hungry. I think the American corporations are war-hungry.
Sorry, lost in translation.
The American military industrial complex. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. You sounded like Richard Nixon there for a second.
I'm not a crook.
Now you really sound like Richard Nixon. We're dating ourselves here, dude. We're dating ourselves. So
the German, by the way, the German, what's it called? Anthem is beautiful. I mean, it Deutschland über alles doesn't mean that we are better than everybody. I just had it on my site the other day, and I just really like it.
I like the Dead Kennedys cover.
Oh, we should cover that too.
California über alles.
Well, fuck.
Remember, if you cover that and you put it on an album, you're going to have to pay $8 for every album that sells for royalties.
Ouch.
To whom?
Oh, wait, no, you're not. Just because Dead Kennedys is paying royalties probably somewhere along the line, maybe, because they're popular. but if someone else does it, I doubt that Germany's going to ask for royalties.
Yeah. They probably don't need any money. They're doing pretty well, I think.
Yeah, they're doing definitely better than we are. That's for sure. That's for sure, without a doubt.
When are we going to start a revolution here because there's no more middle class? And I don't understand. I talked to my to my professor about that the other day. I said, you know, how come that people just take this shit? The middle class is going away. People are fucking working their asses off. They're so can't make it. And nobody does anything about it. So why?
I wonder that too, to be honest.
It's because everybody to do something about it. So maybe I should start my own tea party.
It's because it's all good.
Oh, yeah.
It's all good attitude.
That's my
problem. People just like to be blind to what's right in front of them.
Yep. Yeah, and you know, if you don't like it, just go to your doctor and he'll write a prescription and you won't care about it anymore.
Well, you can watch The Housewives of Beverly Hills.
He'll charge you for it too.
TV, yeah, exactly.
Well, with that, with the doctor writing the prescription so you don't care anymore.
You know, hey, speaking of prescription, what song are you going to play next?
Yeah, what song are we? Let's play. What song are we going to play next, Sean? Let's ask our in-flight engineer over here. What song do we have coming up next? Can we guess? Is it song number one, song number two, or song number three?
We have What's Mother, Dope Sick Mom coming up next.
Dope Sick Mom, speaking of those wonderful drugs.
This song pumps me up. So watch out, everyone in here.
Well, that's my dedication to Courtney.
To Courtney? Oh, wait a second before you cue this up. I got to hear this. Dedication to Courtney, Dope Sick Mom. God, let us have it.
That's why I wrote it. I wrote about her.
You wrote it about her?
Yep.
She tried to take little Francis's money.
Because I can't stand that bitch. That's awesome. I won't get into it, but that's it.
Courtney, I'm just going to leave it as you know her personally and leave it at
and
that.
You can't stand the bitch.
I've met her a couple of times, but like before she just always yelled at me when she saw me, and I don't know why. She's a freak. Well, a smart freak.
But let's hear that song about Courtney.
Let's hear song number two, Dope Sick Mom. Met that person several times, many times.
Man, yeah.
I grew up in the projects. Dope Sick Mom, yeah, lived next door to me, above me, on the other side of me. I think below me a couple of times, dated her a few times. Definitely no Dope Sick Mom.
I'd say
so she sounded pretty sexy on that one, too.
No, I did not. It was a fucking nightmare.
No, that's still sexy. And people think it's sexy when chicks sound like that, okay? I mean, come on. Well, it's still hardcore. It's still hot, you know.
I didn't even know that version existed, to be quite honest.
Well, that's the other thing is when I sent you the stuff, Roy, that was as I was digging through, I told you I wanted
when
to find
you
that
sent
first.
Him shit?
I wanted no, to find that first cassette, and I couldn't find that. But I found this record that we...
Oh, my God, you old fart cassette. Come on. Wasn't it on 8-track?
What happened? It's the fucking tape. I put it... Oh, never mind.
Anyway, so we actually... That that alt record...
Halt
record with the 8 songs, we forgot that we recorded that 4 or 5 years ago.
Wait a minute. I want to hear Julia say it. How do you say the name of that album?
Halt. Like, you know, that the halt, the stops, it means stop.
Oh, yeah, so does halt, but I don't think I can even say it the way you do it. You know what amazes me, and I just got to throw this out there, because I've been talking to you for, a year and a half now or so, something like that, almost 2 years. We've been chatting back and forth and talked on the phone and whatnot, and hearing your voice when you talk and hearing your voice when you sing, If you were to ask me if that was the same person, I would have to say no way in hell.
And so I'm saying that I don't sound sexy now because I sounded so sexy on the song. Is that an insult? Thanks, Roy.
No, it's not an insult. It's not an insult. I'm going to turn that around. It's not an insult. It is a testament to the talent of being able to project your voice and do what you're passionate about and what you love and put it out there in a way that it just has a sound that touches people. And I think everybody in the room here that's listening to this today has made comments about the sound of your voice. That is an amazing skill and talent both. And the thing I struggle with a lot in artists, working with artists with the record label here, is, you know, working on things like pitch control, working on things like voice projection and stuff like that. It's a real challenge to be able to do that, and your control over yours, you know, from a technical aspect and a personal aspect, is amazing. It really is.
That means, because I've never had voice lessons, I just scream, but thank you.
Well, you scream very well.
It's very
talented among females. Not every female is able to scream like that. Like, there's only like a small handful, you know, like out of the world, in my opinion. There's not everybody sounds good doing it.
No.
So,
no.
You do. Cool. You sound good.
But, thank you. You know,
yeah. No, but basically, my comment is that the two voices are so different. They're just different. And it's really cool.
Well, you have an accent, so of course you sound hot when you talk. I mean,
oh god,
everybody likes accents.
Yeah, a chick with an accent. Come on, give me a break.
I need to hurry up and learn how to fake an accent so I can just, you know.
I don't understand why people like accents.
It's different.
I can't understand myself on a tape. I thought I had no accent, but I guess I do sound like fresh off the boat. So whatever.
Because we get bored hearing the same old thing over and over again.
You gotta be proud of your accent, though. I mean, you know, accents never go away anyway, no matter what you do. There's people that live in other places for, like my dad. You know, he's got an accent. He's lived here for 25 years and he still has an accent. You know, it just never goes away, but that's a part of you. So, yeah, work it.
I spent some time down south and everybody said, you have a beautiful accent. And I'm like, I have a what?
That's funny.
Yeah.
Andy, where's your dad from?
He's from North Carolina.
Oh.
He's nice. From North Carolina. Well, I remember him talking really, he had a really deep accent when I was a little kid, and he would always try to correct me because, I mean, we lived here, but he would always correct me and, you know, say things like, for instance, I'd be like, oh, we're going to North Carolina, you know, for the summer. And he'd be like, that's not the way you say it. It's North Carolina. You know, that's the way you say it, you know. And then stuff like just little things here and there, you know, and ate grits all the time and okra and cornbread. And I grew up weird here. I grew
chillins.
Up here. Chillins. That's what chillins. I call my children is chillins.
Oh, man.
I call my kids, I'm like, my chillins. I call them chillins all the time. And people are just like, what is wrong with you? I'm like, I'm sorry. My dad, he's just weird. He just raised me weird. You know, though, I'm glad he did, though, because, I mean, whatever. I'm just me.
Look, daddy's coming up.
Oh,
perfect.
Yeah.
Look at that. I'm talking about my dad, and daddy's coming up. It's perfect.
Her daddy's a nice daddy, though. We'll go ahead and do daddy here. This is a daddy that we want to hate.
Rick made the song up because he knows I have a fucking amazing relationship with my dad, and I'm like a little spoiled bitch, but so he said.
And a Trustafarian.
Yeah. So he wrote the song, and who wrote the lyrics? You did.
Me?
Yeah.
But you changed them because you wouldn't disrespect your father.
Well, and it's not about my fucking dad, it's about yours. Well.
I heard this song was about something really, really deep involving somebody's dad or something like that. I don't exactly remember what it was. What was it?
It means nothing. I mean, I can see that some people who got fucked up by their dads could relate to that.
Yeah.
I can't.
No one can fuck up a little girl.
I couldn't either, because my dad's awesome, too.
Yeah, so, I mean, Rick's dad wasn't that awesome, but...
Oh, my dad was okay. He just wasn't cool in his late...
How long did it take you to write this song?
2 minutes.
Well, 5 minutes, actually.
5 minutes?
However long it took Joe and Julia to go out and smoke a cigarette. But the truth is
yeah.
I've been working with that riff for a while, like for maybe 30 days, because I had spent some time with the band Valis while they were recording, and they have this song called Motorbike, and it's really cool. And I was able to like come clean to Van Conner and say, hey Van, I completely stole your riff. And he said, that's okay, because it's a riff from some other song and I stole it too. So,
and it's because I only have 4 strings. And actually 2 strings on my guitar.
It's just
fucking thieves.
How dare you guess?
Plagiarism is the best form of flattery, though.
It, you know, when you can't figure it out, cheat. So, yeah. Well, let's hear that. Let's hear that song.
Oh, yeah. Let's listen.
Great job mixing it and recording
it. Yeah, we that record is an EP because the guy that was recording us walked out. He couldn't take it. He couldn't take us anymore. So we got four or five songs. We can kind of be a little pissy in the studio.
Well, you just want it done perfectly because it's your stuff.
I don't know. We can be kind of childish in our behavior sometimes, but not everybody gets it. So
and that's a problem. Why?
Leslie
is professional. He doesn't.
Yeah, he's
fuck around.
He's professional.
He
doesn't play fuck around. We play fuck around. So
yeah, and he takes shit serious, but you probably should as a musician, and we don't.
He has like a LA glam rock, 80s glam rock background, and I think that he did some really cool production stuff on those songs, and I'm kind of bummed out that we couldn't finish the record with him, but yeah, he did some great stuff.
Yeah, he's in a band called The Prophets of Addiction, and he used to be in Pretty Boy Floyd. He really rocks. He's good. He's a good guy.
Good guy.
Good guy. Good guy.
Just couldn't handle your behavior.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it just happens sometimes, I guess.
I don't even know the guy, and I'm just going to say, man, he has no sense of humor, okay? He's way too serious about what he does.
Oh, some people just are serious, though. It's just the way they are.
They are. They are.
I've met a few. Well,
he's a musician. I'm not. That's the difference.
He has professional ethics.
And we don't.
And we try.
And you don't. This part of the discussion almost—it's got me into the point where I want to read what I wrote about you guys on the post here. And Julia had some comments on this earlier for me, but I'm going to read this because I put the whole thing from an interview you guys did in the newspaper and what they wrote and everything. What I know about the band and about Julia and everything, this is what I come up with, and I kind of want to get you guys' feedback on some of the things I had to say in here and why you think somebody would see this in you. So this is what I got. From the early roots of Eurotrash and punk rock, Julia comes to us from her native Germany with a truly unique punk sound that's like sipping fine wine from a razor-edge crystal glass. With her background as publicist for Sub Pop and others, she pushed Monster Magnet to the top. This is a must-attend show for artists and fans alike. I'm just going to throw a question out there and ask you guys and say, why do you think someone would get that impression from me and write that about you?
I have no idea. I like the razor thing glass. Obviously, I don't like to. I work my ass off for Monster Magnet. The only thing is, like, if I push them to the top, I don't know. I just love those guys. I still do. And the interview. Oh, what you wrote?
No, it's like, why would someone say that about you?
Yeah, what I wrote. That's the impression I've got when I think about you and Silver and the band and everything. This is kind of the impression that I get, and I just want to know how that strikes you that someone would think that about you, because I know you guys are very modest and very humble, and I don't think the public generally sees punk or anything like that as being modest and humble. It's kind of in your face. It's kind of like getting hit with a baseball bat across the forehead and saying, you're going to like this, whether you like it or not.
Yeah. Well, but let me ask you this. Did you look in your PayPal account? Did you get the money?
Huh?
That we sent you that money to say the nice stuff? Did you get the payoff?
That was that hand behind my back there, that little pat that I felt. Yeah, when I reached back. Yeah. Yeah. I seen it tall enough.
Well, thank you for writing it.
It's very nice of you.
I thought it sounded really cool.
International female.
Yeah.
So
there's not enough girls in music. Unfortunately, it's still completely guys.
Yeah, that's true.
Don't really take chicks seriously in bands, and I don't know why, so they can fuck off.
You know what?
I agree with you.
And Mandy here is, she's a very accomplished artist and a local artist.
I'm just stuck here with my music, but it's cool.
You know, she does have some really cool music. And yeah, what you just said, you should have seen the look on her face when you said that. It's like, uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what do we do about this?
So shut the fuck up, be pretty, and cook. And I can't cook.
No, I was never meant to be... I was never meant to be that. That's all I got to say.
I tried the domestic thing. It doesn't work.
So barefoot pregnant in the kitchen is not for you ladies at all?
I am domestic because I do have kids. And my first daughter, it's not like I meant to get pregnant with her or anything. I really did just that happened. I was young and stuff. So that did happen. And I would never trade it. But it is kind of hard to balance a domestic lifestyle and to try to have a band and have the music. And, you know, it's more like slowly chipping away is kind of how I feel. Like, I can't really just, like, I want to just, you know, uproot and just leave and go play music. But it's like, you know, your kids just mean more somehow. So you're just like, you know, I don't know. But I'm still never going to give up. I'm still going to do my thing. You know what I mean?
You know, when you're in the bar, you can just leave your kid in the car.
Oh, totally. Yeah, no.
I got really lucky. My son, he loves my music, and we record some stuff together, and he's just not like your regular kid. He's an old soul. And
he's good. He's
How punk. Old is he?
he's
seven.
Zeben.
See, I got a little 8-year-old girl.
I got a 7-year-old girl.
Yeah.
She's the same way, an old soul. Very old soul.
I would beat your daughters up.
I don't know. My Alexi's kind of crazy. I don't know. She is. She's really sweet and, like, you know, like, you've met her. Haven't you met her? She's very sweet and everything, but I've seen her just randomly attack other kids, like, mostly boys, like some kind of spider monkey. I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, she's so sweet. What is she doing?
Does she carry a switchblade on her tongue at all times?
God, I don't know. She's just, I don't know. I want to put her, honestly, though, I want to put her in self-defense classes because she does kind of do that a lot, and it's like, why not put her in self-defense and let her get whatever... I don't know why she does that, but I feel like she just wants to fight and she just doesn't know it yet or something, and I should just put her in self-defense. You
Forget
know?
About two words. Fight club.
No. Right? Fight club.
Fight club.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
No,
my son doesn't... He doesn't give a fuck about fighting. He's just... He just likes to listen to techno for some reason and dance around. So he's sweet.
Lexi's into dancing music, too. That's okay, though. I mean, everybody to their own. My son, on the other hand, he's a little metalhead. He's awesome. He's got a little drum set, and he's all crazy on it. He's got...
Cool.
He's really cute.
Kids, except my own, but... I don't like humans in general. And kids are annoying except my son, so I'll...
That's kind of true, right?
Yeah.
I hate to say
I really don't like people at all. I like some individuals.
Yeah, it's like I have small... Yeah, a group of individuals I like. Yeah. And like certain like friends' kids that I can, you know, I can appreciate. And my nieces and nephews I love. And then my kids, of course. But I'm not really like... I tried working in a daycare a few years ago. Let's put it that way. Just because I had my daughter and I thought, oh, like, you know, this will be great. I'll be around her more. No, I only lasted a month. Literally. Right.
I used to work at a daycare with autistic kids, and that was great because I really love special needs kids and crazy people. That's the only people I can relate to. Other people are fucking boring the shit out of me.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, I just couldn't handle being in a daycare at all. I just gave my 2 weeks in a week.
I worked at a daycare, but I had to start smoking cigarettes, and I hate cigarettes. I had to start smoking cigarettes so I could burn them with cigarettes.
Oh, that's a hard job, man.
That's just sick and wrong. That's sick and wrong.
Rick is sick and wrong.
Smoking is sick and wrong.
He doesn't even smoke.
It is. It's not good for you, you know. That's what they say.
I quit for 12 years, somehow got started again. Now I'm quitting again.
What? But, that's horrible.
Yeah,
come on now.
Yeah. I'm not even going to get into the story of how I got started again, but yeah, it involved
shame.
A woman.
Shame. Oh my God, the way he said that.
Just, you know,
try to fake women.
Well, God, it's literally that time. We've got three songs we want to wrap this up with at the end of the night, and I got to do my whole sponsor thing and say thank you to all of those people and stuff. But the most important thing, we're going to wrap this up with three songs by Silver. Dog off the EP, 27 off Halt, and Yesterday, the goth version. If you're out there listening, stick around, listen for that. It's worth the wait, without a doubt. Want to thank both of you for being on the show tonight, without
thank
a doubt.
You. Thanks, Mandy.
It was very enjoyable. I hope that you guys come here pretty soon to come play.
Yeah, got to come out here and we'll come up with something special.
Yeah, that will be special. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Auf Wiedersehen and auf Wiedersehen.
Keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
Oh, keep doing what you're doing.
You guys, too, keep doing what you're doing. And I definitely want to hook up with you guys again, hopefully do some work in the future on shows or something and get you back on. I'd like to have you out here in the studio, actually, live next time and have you sitting right here in front of me. I think that'd be a blast, and then go do a show.
Right.
That would be fun.
Yeah, sure. I like Montana.
Oh, great place. Big skies.
No God.
All right.
Okay, here's where we roll down the whole sponsors thing and all that wonderful stuff that we got going. Like to say some thank yous out there to Adventure Whitewater. They actually pay my personal bills so I don't have to eat ramen noodles every day. And we do some specials for them. If you go in and say you heard it on the airship, Adventure Whitewater, get some discounts on a good whitewater rafting trip. Definitely get you wet. Legendary Tattoo keeps me covered in ink. Those guys are amazing down there. All original work, no stencils, nothing like that. You tell them what you want, they will put it together for you. Yellowstone Cellars and Winery here in town. And if you didn't get a chance to get down there last night, usually come down Wednesday nights to get open mic night. We are actually recording those now, getting ready to publish some wine sessions albums. Compilations are going to be coming out in the future. So they're one of the sponsors. Keep us in some good vino for sure. And with that pretty much wraps it up for the night. Enjoy the next 15, 20 minutes and listen to Dog and 27 and Yesterday from Silver. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Dog is my song, by the way.
Dog is the song.
Dog's my song right now.